Sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
And now we return to The Giving.
Hello and welcome back to this special Christmas program. I'm Jerry Stewart. Today we're talking about this idea of giving and just why the spirit of giving is so very much alive during the Christmas season. But there's a lot for the children to keep straight. We know the story of that first Christmas and God's gift of the Christ child to all mankind. But just how does Santa Claus fit into the picture? When one child was just learning to talk, she was told the story of Jesus dying on the cross for all of mankind. And when Christmas came around, she was asked, "Who died on the cross for you?" Well, she set her little brain to thinking. She twisted her brow, curled her little lips, and then it came to her. Who died for her on the cross? Santa Claus. Yes, it's hard for the kids to keep it all straight. But just how did Santa Claus come into the Christmas picture? Well, actually, it's a wonderful and miraculous story of a man, a real man. His name was Nicholas, and he was born over 1,600 years ago in the Far East. He was a very kind and helpful boy, and when he grew up, he became a great man of God. So great that when he died, he was given the title of a saint, Saint Nicholas. St. Nicholas loved children. He loved them so much that he was made the first patron saint of children. Now, there's so much to tell about St. Nicholas, of his kindness, of his brave acts for God that caused him to actually be imprisoned for his faith in God. But there is one story told which explains how he first became recognized as the man we know today as Santa Claus. In Santa Claus, St. Nick's town, there lived a poor man with three daughters. He was so very poor that he was ready to literally send his daughters out to beg for food. But it had happened that not long before, Nicholas had come into a great fortune. So he decided to secretly help this poor man and his family. So late one night, Nicholas went to this man's house. He saw an open window and threw a bag of gold into the man's house. On three separate nights, St. Nicholas went to that man's house, each time throwing in a bag of gold. Until that third night, the man actually saw Nicholas perform his act of kindness. Well, Nicholas explained that he loved to help people and to give gifts, especially to children, and that he loved to do it secretly. And today, 1,600 years later, St. Nick, Santa Claus, is still at work. But there are some today who have come to doubt the very existence of Santa Claus. And one year, one little boy was made fun of for still believing. So he went to his grandma's house to tell her the news. "No Santa Claus," his grandmother belted out. "That's ridiculous. Put on your coat and let's go." Well, they took a drive down to the local department store, and when they walked in, the grandmother handed her grandson a $10 bill. She said, "Take this money and buy something for someone you know is in need. I'll wait outside." Well, the little boy was only 8. He'd never been shopping by himself before, and he didn't know exactly what to do. So for a moment, he just stood there watching all the shoppers scramble around making their purchases. He remembered his grandmother's words, "Use this $10 to buy a present for someone in need." He thought and he thought, "Somebody in need." And then he remembered that boy in his class, Bobby. Bobby's family was so poor, he didn't even own a warm coat. And because of that, he couldn't go out and play at recess. Well, this young boy searched around until he finally found just the coat. A nice warm coat. It even had a hood. He made his way to the store cloak, laid down the coat and the $10. "I'd like to buy this coat, please." The store clerk looked and asked, "Is this a Christmas present?" "Yes, ma'am," the little boy said. "It's for Bobby." Well, without another word, the store clerk placed the coat in a bag, and the young boy headed out the door for his grandma. That night, he and his grandmother wrapped Bobby's coat in some bright and festive paper with a big red bow, and with package in hand, they headed for the car. Grandma insisted that Santa always worked in secrecy, So they drove to Bobby's house, quietly placed the present on Bobby's door, rang the doorbell, and ran. In a moment, the door did open, and there stood Bobby. The little boy and his grandma watched secretly as he tore open the package and found the coat. Bobby was so happy. Well, that night, the young boy realized that all those awful rumors about Santa Claus were just what Grandma had said. Ridiculous. Santa was alive and well, and he was officially one of Santa's helpers. Oh, and there's one other part to the story. When they were wrapping up Bobby's coat, Grandma found a sales slip. Bobby's $10 coat actually cost $19.95. Yes, Santa Claus and the wonderful spirit of giving at Christmas is still very much alive. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'll be back with more of this special Christmas program after these messages. So tender
and mild. Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. If Jerry's words and stories in today's program are moving you, stirring you to action, you're not alone. Today, all across America, millions of listeners are hearing the special holiday program, and they, too, are moved. But what can we do to make a difference in our nation right now? One good way is to spread the word, speak out. If you'd like to know how to get your own copy of today's program, just visit our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com, or you can call our office at 817-995-4607. That website again is www.jerrystewartusa.com, or call 817-995-4607. And remember, these programs are great for schools and homeschools, church libraries, anywhere people want a good story, and that includes kids too. Thanks so much and enjoy the program.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack, and as Attorney General, I'll make constitutional carry a reality and defend your Second Amendment freedoms. No more permits for law-abiding citizens to exercise the rights and protect their families. I've stood up for liberty. Now stand with me to make Michigan red again. Endorse me at the March Convention and Safeguard Our Constitution. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Stewart. It was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow who wrote the familiar rhyme, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Have you ever thought just how many Christmas songs there are that talk about peace on earth? There's a lot. Why is that? It's because the first Christmas song sung by the angels themselves that first Christmas, they were singing about peace on earth. And later, one of the names given to Jesus Christ, the Christ child, was the Prince of Peace. But if that first Christmas was about bringing peace to all mankind, if Jesus is truly the Prince of Peace, then why is it that in the last 2,000 years there have been literally tens of thousands of wars? Why is there no peace? And in 1914, when the world sought peace, instead it found itself in the First World War. A war so devastating, it came to be known as the war to end all wars. But just what happens when in the middle of a war, the soldiers just quit fighting?
Of all the stories I've ever read or heard, this Christmas story is surely one of the most amazing. In December of 1914, World War I was still only getting started, but already it had claimed hundreds of thousands of killed and wounded and missing. As Christmas approached, an appeal came from Pope Benedict to cease fire. But as the news of the Pope's plea for a Christmas truce was received by both sides, their response was impossible. As one newspaper put it, a few carols, a little incense, and some tinsel will heal no wounds. So the war proceeded on. On the front line, hundreds of thousands of soldiers from many countries had taken their positions, dug their trenches in, and in between the two armies lay a no-man's land that stretched across almost the entire border between Belgium and France. It was clear there would be no Christmas truce. Instead, there would only be death and devastation. As the cold rain fell, muddying and even flooding the trenches and soaking the soldiers to the bone, it caused a sort of river in that no man's land that separated the two armies, and the dead bodies in the middle began to float to either side. It was a gruesome sight. And then, as the night fell, the night of Christmas Eve, it happened. No one has ever been able to pinpoint where it first began, but there was silence, pure silence. It can only be imagined that during this silence, soldiers on both sides began to ponder just what this night was, the eve of Christmas, the birth of their Savior, the Prince of Peace. Then the silence was broken, not by gunfire or artillery, but the sound of voices, German voices, singing a song familiar in its tune, but the words were foreign. Still, all knew they were singing Silent Night. It was strange and bizarre to hear this song, these words here, but it was compelling. Up and down the battle line, signs began to pop up, crude signs made on scraps of board and paper. Merry Christmas. You no fight, we no fight. As a group of Belgian soldiers cautiously popped their heads out of their trenches to read the signs, what they saw was unbelievable. German soldiers were coming up, out of the safety of their trenches, visibly unarmed, walking toward their enemy, in full view, shouting, "Comrades!" The Belgian soldiers were shocked and puzzled, but miraculously, they too laid down their weapons. All that Christmas Eve night, as the word spread up and down the battle line, soldiers from both sides put down their weapons and came out of the safety of their trenches and met together in that deadly no man's land where bodies from both sides lay dead. If there had not been pictures taken, surely no one today would ever believe it really happened. They would say it was just a dream. As daylight came on Christmas Day, this amazing Christmas truce became even more amazing. Soldiers from both sides laying down their weapons and instead exchanging food and trinkets, giving gifts of decorated Christmas trees, each side working together to help bury the other's dead. They even broke out in games. Some even played their own version of a football game. It was truly a sight you'd think you'd never see anywhere this side of heaven. But it was happening. When the word came to those in charge, at first it was not believed. But when this truly unbelievable and spontaneous truce was confirmed, generals insisted the men pick up their guns and fire. But men disobeyed their orders. No one was about to fire on an unarmed soldier bearing gifts. For that entire Christmas day, the dream continued, and then it seemed to end as quickly and as unexplainably as it had begun. Some on both sides who opposed the truce found that the recent deaths on the field of friends and comrades was just too fresh and bitter to ignore. Others worried that they may very well be an easy target standing there so clearly in the open, and soldiers began to make their way back to their trenches.
Higher commands on both sides quickly sent in new troops, those who had not been part of the miraculous truce. And as simply as it had all ended, it began again. The war. That war, that world war, that supposed war to end all wars, was to go on for 4 more years. Many who participated in that Christmas truce were killed in battle and never made it home. For a long time, there wasn't really much said about this Christmas miracle. It was an anomaly, an absurdity, a truce during war. But the real question is, which is more absurd, peace or war? We all know the answer to that, but unfortunately, as long as there are those in this world that make war, there must be those who fight to stop war. But could it be that the magic of Christmas can extend even into war? One soldier who was there that Christmas, 1914, wrote these words. O ye who read this truthful rhyme from Flanders, kneel and pray. God speed the time when every day shall be as Christmas Day. I'll be back with more of this special Christmas program after these messages.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. If Jerry's words and stories in today's program are moving you, stirring you to action, you're not alone. Today, all across America, millions of listeners are hearing the special holiday program, and they, too, are moved. But what can we do to make a difference in our nation right now? One good way is to spread the word, speak out. If you'd like to know how to get your own copy of today's program, just visit our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com, or you can call our office at 817-995-4607. That website again is www.jerrystewartusa.com, or call 817-995-4607. And remember, these programs are great for schools and homeschools, church libraries, anywhere people want a good story, and that includes kids too. Thanks so much and enjoy the program.
Thanks, Kelly. You may be hearing this special holiday program today for the first time, or maybe you're a long-time listener. But what you may not know is that I've been doing these radio specials since all the way back in 1998. I even do a daily feature called One Moment in America. And here's the great thing. So many of the stories you're hearing in my programs are up on my website for you to read. I'm told that there are hundreds of great stories about our America, stories of courage and commitment and hope, stories teaching us through example of integrity, character, and high moral values. Man, we sure need more of all of these today. My website, www.onemomentinamerica.com. Just click on Stories and read away, and they're perfect for children, too. That's www.onemomentinamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Ax My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axmytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axmytax.org.
Road Trip, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip Likely to Succeed makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
Hello and welcome back to this special Christmas program. I'm Jerry Stewart. In 1962, Hollywood filmmaker George Stevens announced that he was going to produce a movie entitled The Greatest Story Ever Told. Just what could this story be? The greatest story ever told? And that's when he revealed the story's content. He said he wanted to tell on screen the story of Jesus. When it was announced that casting would begin, George Stevens told the news media this. He said, "You can't imagine the people who have called me, the stars themselves, not their agents, and they don't ask for any specific role, big or small. They just want to be in the movie." It was amazing. But just why did everyone, even the biggest actors, why did they want to be a part of this film? Because the story of Jesus is truly the greatest story ever told. And if these actors were so excited to just play a part in the movie, can you imagine how excited those people were who were actually there? And what about the heavenly choir, those angels chosen to sing those first Christmas songs? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, come and see the Christ child, God's Son is born. One can only imagine just how wondrous that first Christmas scene was. It was the most joyous event in the history of the world. But no one knew, not even the angels knew, that this precious Christ child coming to our earth was only part of the story. That his living as a man on our earth, his teaching, his living the perfect life, loving all of mankind. Little did anyone know that God's gift, this first Christmas gift, would have to do much more than just be born. So much more. Sadly, he would have to die. Not just a normal, natural death like you and me, but a cruel, torturous death. He would have to suffer and die on a cruel cross for you and me. You see, without his death, you and I, all of mankind, would have no chance to be right with God. So the Christ child, Jesus Christ, voluntarily came to earth. Why? It was love. Christ was love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what Christmas is really all about, to remind us of that gift, that first Christmas gift given by God, his own precious Son. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would gladly do my part. Yet, what can I give him? I can give him my heart. I'm Jerry Stewart. Have a joyous Christmas, a wonderful time of giving and receiving. And sometime today, take a moment to thank God for his very special gift, Jesus. Goodbye for now, and may God richly bless you.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker